And I trust that you do. And if you don't, my goodness, why are you in the battle without your sword? Amen. We got to be prepared each and every day. Turn to the book of Psalm 147, and there we'll find a thought for the message tonight. Psalm 147, the book of Psalm 147. Give everybody just a moment to get there. And when you do, please stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. And Miss Heather having a workout over there. Amen. Stand and sit down. Amen. Praise God. She's ready. All right. Psalm 147. And we'll be starting. Well, you know what? Let's just start in verse 1. And then we'll bring the thought that the Lord has laid on our heart here tonight. In Psalm 147, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says this. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. Verse 3 says this, He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. I want to stop right there. And out of verse 3 it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Tonight, with the Lord being our helper, we'd like to preach on the thought tonight of looking for the wounded. On looking for the wounded. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, you know my heart tonight. Lord, you know the spirit is willing, Lord, but you know the flesh is weak. So, Lord, I'm asking you tonight. Lord, I'm begging with you tonight. Lord, I'm pleading with you tonight. Lord, that you just take me and use me, Lord, under your power, under your might. Lord, let every word that is spoken be a word that you gave. Lord, let every action be, Lord, given by you. Lord, let every thought, let every example, let every sentence, Lord, let everything that's done here tonight, Lord, be pleasing unto you. Lord, we ask, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you just move in a mighty way. Lord, we ask, Lord, tonight, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that it's you that is getting the glory, that it's you that's getting all the honor, that it's you getting all the praise. Lord, I know that I am nothing without you, Lord, and I don't even want to try. Lord, people come tonight, Lord, to hear from you and to see you move, Lord, not to hear from me and not to see me move. But, Lord, I know that if this message, Lord, is the message that you gave me tonight, Lord, it's meant for a reason. It's meant for a purpose. It has a target tonight, Lord. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you cease every distraction. Lord, that you allow us to remove every thought from our mind. Lord, that we just open our minds and our hearts up to you, Lord, and let you do, Lord, what you need to do tonight, Lord. Lord, we know that there's people here tonight, Lord, that's hurting. Lord, we know there's people here tonight, Lord, that may be wounded. Lord, we know there's people here tonight, Lord, that needs to see you move in a mighty way. Lord, we know there's people here tonight, Lord, that just needs a touch from heaven. Lord, the world has overwhelmed us. The world is trying to drown us, Lord, but I'm so glad that when the world tries to drown us, you're there with an extended hand, Lord, waiting for us just to reach up and grab it. And Lord, you pull us up out of all this mess. You pull us up out of these angry waves, Lord, and you set us on a solid ground. You set us on a solid foundation. And Lord, may you get all the glory in that. Lord, we ask, Lord, this message tonight, Lord, be nothing more, nothing less, but from you. And Lord, we'll thank you. Lord, we'll praise you. And Lord, you know we love you. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Before we get on into the preaching, remember, I believe it's next Tuesday, Brandon Morris will be here preaching. Amen. And I was teasing Jackie here. I said, Sunday, it cracked me up because, you know, pastor's up here. He's like, oh, in 2 weeks, you know, pray Brandon Morris will be here. And everybody, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, and remember Tuesday, Bill Pace will be preaching. He's like, I'm kidding, amen. I'm just kidding, amen. Looking for some sympathy votes, amen. No, but getting on here to this tonight, it says, Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now this psalm here, before I go any further, we know this psalm is geared towards Israel. We know this psalm is geared towards God's people here in Israel. But I believe within all my heart that in verse 3, that principle can still be applied today. Amen. I believe this principle can still be applied to God's people today. Amen. We serve a God who is looking to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. We still serve a God who's willing to bind up the wounds. Amen. Of those that have been hurt. Amen. If you looked up these words, the word bindeth up here means to wrap, press on, to wrap up. And what is he saying here? The word wound here means a gash or something of that nature. So basically what you're seeing here is that the Bible says this, that we serve a Lord who wants to wrap up those wounds that are exposed. And I got thinking about this, and I remember a story, came across a story a while back of a war nurse. And we all know what a war nurse is. They're in the ERs, and when soldiers are hurt, they're there to assist and many times meet the needs of those soldiers. And I remember reading a story of a war nurse, and she was in World War II, I believe it was, one of those world wars. And she would say one of the best times was also one of the worst times. And she went on a little further to say that when the battle had raged and the battle was over and the enemy had retreated or ran off or something of that nature, one of the things that the war nurses did, along with some surgeons and doctors and whatnot, was they would go to the battlefields and look for the wounded. They would go to the battlefields and amongst all the dead, amongst all the lifeless bodies, they would look for the ones that still had life, amen, that still had a breath breathing out of their mouth and in their lungs. And although they may be wounded, they looked for them and they brought them back to the place that they could take care of them. Amen. And I believe this with all my heart, church. I believe that this right here is not just a sign in a church to make us feel good. Amen. I believe that our pastor is a pastor that truly believes in looking for the wounded. Amen. And I believe that this needs to serve as a reminder that every time that we go out of these church doors, every time we step out of our house door, we need to be looking for the wounded. Amen. You say, preacher, what in the world am I going to do with the wounded? I'm glad you came tonight. Amen. We're going to see that in just a minute. But I believe this with all my heart, church. I believe that we serve a God who still wants to bind up the wounds of the wounded. Amen. I still believe that we serve a God who still wants to mend the broken heart. Amen. You look through the Bible and you'll see men of God and women of God who faced hard times and they were broken down, they were beaten down, they thought there would be no return, but they served a God who lifted them up, amen, out of the miry clay. They served a God who mended their broken heart. But not only in the Bible, I believe that we can look around this church here tonight and see folks that's been through some wars, that see folks that's been wounded, amen, see folks that have been through the battles, and God bring them out of those battles. God bring them out of those wars, and God mended and of those wounds, and they're here today as a living testimony of that. You still serve a God who can bind up those wounds? Listen, we need to be looking for the wounded. I believe that we can look for the wounded every day, amen. Pray for us just for a few moments as we look at this message tonight, looking for the wounded. Number one, how do we reach the wounded? How do we reach them? Well, I believe this with all my heart. If you take your Bibles real quickly and turn over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. For those that may be struggling there, it goes Matthew, Mark. It's the second book in the Gospels there. And Mark chapter number 16 and verse 15. The Bible tells us this. In Mark 16 and 15, the Bible says this. Now, we know this to be to the disciples here, but I believe it can still apply today. In verse 15 of Mark 16, the Bible says this. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I believe one of the ways that we can reach the wounded here tonight is to preach everywhere. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. Listen, I believe this on my heart. The Bible has certain specific qualifications for a man of God. But I believe this, that each and every one of us should be a proclaimer of the Word of God. Amen. That means when you go on the job, don't start joking like they joke. Amen. You start giving them the Word of God. Amen. You guys reach fields that preachers cannot reach. Amen. You guys see people that that preachers may not get to. Amen. I know Miss Jackie goes to Cracker Barrel and she does her job there. But listen, she knows people that maybe I'll never come across. She needs to be preaching the gospel message to them. Amen. I know Miss Patrice and I know Miss Jackie. They deal with folks that we wouldn't come across. But listen, they need to go there proclaiming the gospel message. Amen. If you want to look for the wounded, if you want to find somebody's hurting, amen, open your eyes. They're there. Open your eyes. A lot of times we want to walk around like this. If it ain't happening in our little world, we don't want nothing to do with it. But we need to be looking for the wounded. There's people hurting. There's people hurting out there. How do you reach them? Well, I believe you preach everywhere. Anywhere God takes you, the Bible says, all the world. Now, I may never step a foot in China. I may never step a foot in Africa. Brother Randall, I may not get to those places. But let me show you how good God is. We may never get there, but I want you to look at that little camera right there. And that's going over the internet. The internet is worldwide. You don't know who might come across Ustream and say, hey, let me check this out. All of a sudden they hear Brother Clement preaching on quitting. You know, you never know. You listen, we need to preach everywhere, anywhere God takes you. To the grocery store. To your backyard. I know it's hard to deal with the world. I deal with them too. But we need to be looking for the wounded. You got to remember, if they're lost and don't know Jesus Christ, they're broken. They're wounded. They need the great physician. They need the Savior. Amen. We need to be looking for the wounded. How? Preach everywhere. Anywhere God takes you. All the world. Always proclaim the truth. The Bible says preach the gospel. People are not interested. And I'm going to say this and you can say amen to this. People are not interested in your opinion. Everybody has an opinion. And most of the time, they all stink. Amen. But listen, the world is not interested in your opinion. They are interested in thus saith the Lord. Amen. Listen, if they're not interested in thus saith the Lord, then they need to hear the gospel. Amen. Come on, stay on track with me, y'all. We're going somewhere looking for the wounded. Amen. We need to proclaim the truth. If you're not proclaiming the truth, what are you proclaiming? I'll answer that for you. Lies. Anything that's not the truth is lies. Makes common sense, does it not? Anything that's not the truth is a lie. Okay? So what are you proclaiming? Are you proclaiming the truth? Or are you proclaiming what you feel? Well, you know, I know what the Bible says on that topic, but you know what? That doesn't apply to me. Then you're not proclaiming the truth. And I got news for you. The truth hurts. The truth hurts. It stabs you like a knife. Why do you think the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword? Amen. It's going to pierce you. It's going to hurt. I had a conversation with my brother-in-law this past Sunday. And we got home and I've done my best to be there for him. Okay, he's going through a rough patch in his life. And I've done my best to be there for him. But Sunday, something happened. And I just got to tell you, something happened. I had enough of listening to the same old thing. And in a loving way, I told him the truth. He didn't like it. Now, it wasn't an argument, but it was the truth. But don't the truth make you feel good? Listen, this coming from a man, or at the time a boy, who at the time it was cool to shave your sides. Remember that, DJ? You know, it was cool to have your sides shaved. Well, my mom and dad said no. Well, I wasn't taking no for an answer. I went in there to the bathroom. I can't remember how old I was, Brother Leonard. But I started shaving those sides. But I kept my hair long enough that it would cover it up. Guilt ate me up. And I went to my mom and I looked her in the eye and I did the best thing I knew to do. I lied. I said, Mom, something's wrong. She says, what's wrong? I said, look, my hair's falling. I said, I think I got the mange. My mom looked at me. She thought I lost my mind. Amen. She was mad, but she was laughing. Amen. I couldn't tell the truth. But doesn't it feel better when you stand upon something that you know is true? And if you stand upon the gospel, if you stand upon the word of God, then my friend, let me tell you, it is truth. We need to be looking for the wounded. Amen. How do we reach the wounded? We preach everywhere, anywhere God takes you. Always proclaim the truth. Number three, anybody who will listen. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't mean, well, they're not my type of person. I'm not going to share the gospel. Who are you? Who are you to determine who gets the gospel or not? Whether black or white, red or green, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. All need to hear the word of God. We are not to be the judges over who gets to hear the word and who doesn't. We all need to be sharing the word of God. Not even only in words, but in your actions. Ooh. We can stay there for a while. Well, I go to church. I put on my Sunday best, my Tuesday best. I carry my Bible underneath my arm like I should. Pastor cracked me up. He seen me up there studying. And he said I looked all educated because I had my glasses. No, I couldn't see. Amen. And, you know, we look the part, but then we get out of church. We get out of the comfort of these four walls. And all of a sudden, Brother Lynn, we act like our relationship with Christ ends. We start talking like them. We start acting like them. We start looking like them. We start doing what they do. And you say, preacher, you're making it sound like there's a separation there. Listen, Jesus Christ came to be the divider of men. It's Bible, look it up. Listen, we need to be living the gospel message. Not just on Sunday. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We need to be living it. But while we're living that gospel message, we need to have our eyes open looking for the wounded. Amen. Our duty is to bring them here to the house of God. Our duty is to bring them to the throne of grace. It's not our job to judge. It's a thin line. That is a sinner's best defense. Don't judge me. Well, who are you to judge me? If you go read that, you'll find out when you, because they always bring up the mote and the beam. They always do. But if you go read that, you'll find out that the Bible says, take care of your own self first. Then there's a little word in there. I like it. It's a little four-letter word. It's T-H-E-N. Then go to your brother. What is that? That means this, that there is a sense. We have a sense as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a sense of accountability for each other. That doesn't mean I'm out to judge you to make myself look better than you. But if I see Brother Randall struggling, what kind of brother am I just to let him continue to struggle? We need to stand up, pull each other up and say, hey, I love you. This is what the Bible says. Not what Bill Paisley says, this is what the Bible says. But we need... How do we reach the wounded? We preach everywhere. Not only that, but we invite everyone. Take your Bibles over to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke 14. Next book over, Luke 14. in verse 23, Luke 14 and verse 23, this is the story of the parable of the great supper here. And you see here down, and I'm just going to jump right into verse 23. It says this, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Listen, let me say this to you. I'm not a very smart man. I don't have any formal education in preaching. But when the Bible says here in this parable, he says, go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. That's not talking about somebody who has a grudge with somebody else. And you can invite this class, but not this class. You can invite this type of person, but not that type of person. He said, go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. See, we don't need to have... Oh, Lord, help me tonight. There's a lot of churches, Brother Leonard, and I'm sure me and you can sit down and talk about this. There's a lot of churches that have a country club mentality. Yeah, y'all know what country club mentality is. Amen, brother, yeah. There's some churches... And I'm not bad-mouthing any church, okay? Believe me, I'm not. But listen, I have it on a good report that there's one church, that I'm not going to mention any names, there was one church where a person got up to go to the altar and pray, and they were cut off by an usher and said, no, you need to go sit down, we don't do that here. What kind of church is that? You cut somebody off from going to the altar. But we need not to have a country club mentality. If somebody comes in here and their Sunday best is holy jeans and an old t-shirt, then my goodness, make a room for them on the pew and invite them to come in, amen. Do not shut the doors of God's house, amen, because you just might leave God out there, amen. We need not to have a country club mentality. We need to have a all that will mentality. Amen. Anybody who's willing to come in and sit down and hear the preaching of the gospel message, they are welcome to come here. Amen. I tell you what, we need to not only preach everywhere, but we need to invite everyone. He says, compel them to come in. That word compel means to necessitate or to show needful. Well, so what is he saying? He said, listen, everybody that you come in contact with from all the highways and all the hedges, he says, listen, you need to tell them that it's needful to come into my house. It's need. Listen, but we live in a day and age now, church, where, well, I can worship at home. I can sit at home and watch you stream. And that's great. Yeah, you can. But the Bible still says it's needful to be here. You want to know why? You want to know why I pointed out Dustin and Jackie a few moments ago, and glad to see him here on Tuesday night. You want to know why I pointed them out? Because when people's not here, you miss them. You miss them. If you don't, what kind of family are we? When you sit, Miss Sharon, when you sit around your dinner table and somebody's not there, you know they're not there, right? Okay, same in the house of God. When Glenn was down with his back and he wasn't able to come to church with us, I missed him. You will go around, shake hands. You know who's not here. That's what family does. That's what family does. And listen, we need to not have that mentality of, oh, I can stay home. They're not going to miss me. Stop with the pity parties. If I could join the Sunrise Band over here, I'd play the smallest violin. Amen. Stop with the pity parties. Nobody knows if I'm missing. Nobody knows if I'm even there. Show up and guess what? You'll know that you're missed. Why do you think people come around and hug your neck? It's not because you smell good. It's because they missed you. It's because they loved you. It's because they're glad you're here. But listen, we need to be looking for the wounded. How do we reach them? Preach everywhere. Invite everyone. Listen, we need to realize that there are people who is weakened by their failures. I think of, who was that with Jonathan? Help me out, Brother Leonard. Who was that? That was crippled from the fall. Mephibosheth. What? You guys got it, amen. I can't even go try. But see, what happened to him was he was crippled by a fall. But yet there was still a place for him at the king's table. There might be someone in here tonight that has failed God, that has fallen, and they might feel like they're crippled right now. Does that mean we kick them to the side and say, hey, sorry about your bad luck? No, we pick them up. We bring them to the king's table. We sit them down. We make a plate for them. We say, eat, eat, eat. Amen. Eat now. Come in and get what you need. You don't kick them to the side. You bring them in. You carry them. My good. When's the last time you carried somebody? Miss Patrice come in today. She said, I was wore out. Why are you wore out today? From picking people up and carrying people. Listen, each and every one of us Christians need to come in wore out from carrying somebody. You said, preacher, I don't have the physical strength to carry nobody. Listen, I'm not talking just physically. Take somebody in that you know is hurting and pray for them. Man, I tell you what. Pray for them. I was at work today, and the last 2 days just had just a rough day. Just a rough day. And man, I started to get all fired up, man. I was like, man, I just, you know, I don't know what's going on anymore. On break, I text Becky, you know, and I was like, you know, tell her about my day. And she said something to me that turned my whole day around. She said, I love you, and I'm praying for you. And that turned my day around. And guess what? The day didn't happen to be so bad after all. Amen. Why? Because she took the time to pray for me. What happens if Patrice prays for Jackie? Jackie prays for Bobby. Bobby prays for Sharon. Sharon prays for Brother Leonard. Brother Leonard prays for me. I pray for Josh at school. Josh is praying for Miss Sue. Listen, we need to take each other in prayer. Some of the most wounded people sitting right here in the house of God. People hurting. If we could just tear open our rib cage and show our hearts, there'd be many that have battle scars. Yeah, let the light shine. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You've been in darkness way too long. Praise God. But why? How do we reach the wounded? We reach by preaching everywhere and inviting everyone. Number two, who are the wounded? Who are they wounded by? It's a good question. I'm going to give you four things of who we're wounded by. Number one, we're wounded by Satan. We can all say amen to that. If you haven't battled Satan yet today, they ain't over yet. Well, preacher, that's just negative. It may be, but it's true. Satan wants to tear you down. He wants to tear your home apart. He wants to tear your testimony up. It started way back in the Garden of Eden when Satan messing around with Eve's head, and he got her all mixed up, and he just told her things that wasn't true. She said, "Well, God said we'd die." Then Satan told her that, you know what, you're not gonna die, and she said, "Well, you know what, that sounds pretty good." And Satan said, or as a serpent, he said, "Well, you know what, God just didn't want you to eat of that tree because he don't want you to be God yourself." And all of a sudden she started swelling up, thinking, "Wow, I could be as God," and all those type of things. And she took the fruit and she took it unto Adam, and Adam took a bite of it, and the Lord already told Adam, said, "Hey, if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die." I personally believe that's the first suicide in the Bible, amen, because Adam knew that he was going to die, and he ate of the fruit anyway, amen, and he knew the consequences, but yet he still just listened to his wife and openly sinned before God and did what he was told not to do. And the Bible says this, that they hid themselves. The Bible says that God called in the cool of the day. That tells me one thing. God didn't change. God always walked with Adam in the cool of the day. I'm sure God enjoyed his time with Adam as he started walking in the cool of the day. Adam, how's your day today? Yeah, did you name those animals? Good, good, good. What'd you name that big furry cat? Lion? Okay, good, yeah. Hey, you know what? I just want to spend time with you, Adam. They walked with each other in the cool of the day. But then something happened. Adam became wounded. And the Bible says that when God called on Adam in the cool of the day, the Bible says they hid themselves. What was once a place of fellowship now became a place of fear. Why? Because he knew he did wrong. And God called him out. "Adam, where are you?" And Adam came out. Said, "I hid myself because I had fear. I knew I did wrong. We was naked. How'd you know you were naked, Adam?" What'd he do? Adam sinned against God, he was wounded. He was wounded. You see, here the thing about it is, church, is that Satan, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, he's been destroying people ever since. Good men of God who would preach fire behind this pulpit, not this one in particular, but behind God's pulpits, their lives just totally in shambles now. Not even stepping in the church. I got a former pastor just came across my mind. As I said that, he used to be an on fire preacher. And I won't say his name because some of you may know him in here. But I mean, he's the kind of preacher that, boy, you just wanted to give him an oxygen tank for Christmas, amen, because he'd be hacking you. And the Lord said, and all that stuff. And he's not even in church now. Why? Because he allowed Satan to get in there and just tear things up. He allowed Satan to get in there and spread lies amongst his family. He allowed Satan to get in there and destroy his children, destroy his testimony and all these type things. One of the things that wounds people, number one, is Satan. But number two, but before I go on to number two, take your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see this, amen. I could have moved on, but I feel the Lord would have us to see this tonight. You said, preacher, what am I to do? You know, Satan, he's smarter than I am. And I'd say amen because I know he's smarter than me, amen. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 11. The Bible tells us this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Listen, you know Satan's going to attack, but you are not ignorant to the ways that he attacks. Listen, this might sound foolish to you. This might sound stupid to you, but I'm going to give it to you because the Lord's telling me to give it to you. I work at Albanese Candy Factory. They make every kind of candy you could possibly think of there. And one of my jobs is I deal with the post product. And, you know, coming off the line and you smell that stuff. And I'm a big guy that loves to eat. Candy's one of my weaknesses. Now, I'm not talking just about Albany's. I'm talking about those mint melt-aways. You like those? How many of you like the smell of a Jolly Rancher? Yeah, look at those hands. Look at those hands. I had to unload boxes today for a customer, and I cracked open that box, brother, and that smell just came into my nose. Gumballs and jawbreakers, and I'm like a modern day Willy Wonka. Hey, man, that's what I feel like. And you say, preacher, where are you going with this? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me, amen. I'm not just trying to wet your whistle, but listen. I'm dealing with these boxes of candy. And listen, it may sound so simple, but follow me here. Nobody would miss just one. There's $37,000 worth of candy going on this truck. How in the world would they miss just one Jolly Rancher? Now listen, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter if you stole one piece of candy, or if you stole the whole box on the back of your truck. It doesn't matter if you thought about stealing it. Listen, when those things come through your mind, that's Satan saying, no one's going to miss it. Hey, no one's going to find out if you do that. Listen, it's what David thought. He did everything in his power to cover it up. But yet he still got a knock on the door one day. Yeah, who is it? It's Nathan. Come on in, Nathan. How you been? I'm good, David. I just wanted to come by and tell you a little story. At the end of that story, he said, what would you do, David? David said, I'd punish that fella. And I all these things. And Nathan just looked at him and said, thou art the man. The Bible says what's done privately shall be brought out. You think nobody knows. Listen, the one who matters knows everything. But nobody knows what I do at work. Listen, God knows. And you think you may be sneaking around and getting away with things. Let me tell you something. You can't get out of the eye of God. He sees it all. But you know what? Each and every one of us in here has failed. Each and every one of us in here has fallen. And listen, let me tell you something. We serve a Lord who doesn't get pleasure out of seeing you falling down. He doesn't get pleasure out of seeing you fail. I believe it breaks his heart. I believe he wants to lift you up. But Satan is one of the ones that hurts us. Number two, sin. People are wounded by their actions of sin. Amen. It cripples, it wrecks, it destroys, it controls, it breaks lives, it breaks families. People try to hide them, they try to deny them, they lie about them. And many are imprisoned by sin that we know. Some people are locked up by their sin. I go every month and I see a bunch of girls that's locked up. Many of them would love to go home. We always take up prayer requests down there. And what's one of the things, what's one of the first things they ask prayer for? Pray for me when I get released. That I don't do the stuff that I did to get in here. Listen, when somebody is shackled by sin, you have the key. That key is Jesus Christ. Don't, if you know somebody is cheating, don't sit there and say, hey, it's all right. We all fail. It's okay. Keep cheating. It's all right. No! When somebody's lying, listen, don't say, well, you know, one little lie's okay, you know. No! Well, it's okay if you go in the bar a couple times, you know, God forgive you. Don't be ignorant. We know the key to unshackle folks, and that's Jesus Christ. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Let's move on. Not only the sin wound, not only the Satan wound, how about society? Amen? Y'all with me tonight? If y'all done, I'll just sit down. Amen. Listen, society. We just sat here, or stood here, for 20, 25 minutes listening to these kids say, hey, we have bullies in our school. Hey, we deal with bullies every day. Listen, I got coworkers that would love to bully me. They just haven't found out yet. I don't care. Amen. But listen, we deal in a society. We can sit here. We can get fired up about the government and what they're doing. We can get fired up about the gas prices. We can get fired up about this, fired up about that. But listen, society will wound you. Society will wound you. But listen, let me tell you something. We need to realize that we live in a cutthroat society. We live in a society that has a me first mentality. People are wounded out because society has chewed them up and spit them out. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves them too. Jesus just doesn't love you. As much as we would love to think that, Jesus just doesn't love you. Jesus loves all the world. Preacher, how do you know that? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen. We need to realize that people are wounded by Satan. People are wounded by sin. People's wounded by society. How about this? How about people that are wounded by self-inflicted wounds? I won't speak on anybody else. I will speak on myself. But there's been many times, and don't mistake this when I say this, there's been many times that I've done spiritual suicide. You know what that is? That's when you self-inflict. I'm not good enough. How can I failed again? How in the world can Jesus forgive me? Many times that I'm saying these things, and you know what? These things are not true. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to forgive you. He don't care what you, listen, He don't care where you've been. He only cares where you're going. Amen. Stop giving yourself self-inflicted wounds. You know, the big thing, I don't know if it's, I haven't heard too much about it lately, but I know there was a thing going around a few years ago. I'm sure there's still people that does it. Matter of fact, Brandon mentioned it. Brandon Morris. They used to sit around and knew people that just sit there and cut themselves. Because the pain was so great. Just cut themselves. Self-inflicted wounds. Let me tell you something. Me and my wife was talking a while back, many months ago. And we was talking about how a lot of times those wounds begin to heal in our life. And we'll do something that we just stick our finger in that wound and open it up all over again. How many times have you been in a conversation with somebody and they say this, well, you remember when you did this? And we say, yeah, I do. And we take ourselves back to that place to where we was down. Listen,
We need to stop having self-inflicted wounds. Stop having spiritual suicide, if you will. Amen. Listen, they're very common. We tell ourselves we are not good enough. We tell ourselves that we're not worthy to be saved. We need to show them that's going through this that Jesus makes us worthy. The only reason why Mephibosheth had a place at the table is because the king made him worthy. The only reason why you got a place at the table, church, is not because of who you are. It's not because of what you've done. But it's because who you know, amen, and it's because of what he's done is the only reason why any of us have a place at the table, amen. But listen, we need to realize who they're wounded by. They're wounded by Satan, sin, society, and self. There's many people out there that think they're not good enough. There's many people that think they're too evil to be saved. But we need to tell them, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number three, how do we treat the wounded? I want you to take your Bibles over to, back to Luke chapter 10. We're almost done. Please don't get antsy with me, amen. We're in Luke chapter 10. We need to see these things, amen. Listen, has there been anybody in here tonight that's not been wounded? If so, feel free to go back there, amen, and treat yourself to some chicken. But listen, let me tell you something. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. And when, listen, there's been people that when I've been wounded, took my name in prayer. I'm glad they did. But in Luke chapter 10, how do we treat the wounded? Look what the Bible says here in 10, verse 30. The Bible says this, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. Oh my goodness, stop right there. He was wounded and wounded him. And departed, leaving him half dead. Are you here tonight half dead? You here tonight barely breathing? Are you here tonight because somebody has attacked you and left you wounded? Let's read on. Verse 31. And by chance, there's that topic, Brother Leonard, we was talking about on Sunday. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, my soul. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, what's those next words? He had what? Compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. How do we treat those that's been wounded? This man was left for dead. I've already asked the question, do you feel like you're dying tonight? Do you feel like you've just been attacked, jumped, left there wounded, everybody just kicking you, stomping you, and leaving you there? Let me tell you something. This man was left for dead. Hear me loud and clear. Brother Mike, I hope this thing is alive and well. Amen. But let me tell you something. Religion passed him by. Did you get that? Am I off base, brother? Religion passed him by. This man beat up. Come here, young man. Come here. Get down on the ground. I'm going to beat you up. Lay down. Lay down. This kid likes to fight me all the time. He's kicked. He was down. He's beaten up. Well, stay there. Stay there. Here come the preacher. So, that dude beat up. His brother passed out snoring over there. He didn't see a thing. Man, this boy's beat up. Ain't my problem. And then all of a sudden here comes a Levi on his other side. How you doing, brother? Good to see you. Here comes Levi on the other side. Oh, man, is he breathing? yeah, he's breathing. All right, he must be all right. And left him there. But then, get this now. Then came this Samaritan. He come across him. Oh my goodness. What in the world? Man, this guy's beaten up. Man, I gotta help him. Come here. Come on. Come on. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Ain't nobody gonna hurt you no more. All right. And he went down. Bible said put him on his own beast, so they're riding. And they get to this place up here, to this inn. They said, hey, look. Hey, all right, sit here. You all right, sit here. You all right. Hey, hey. I got some business to take care of. But listen, he's still recovering. Here, take this. Here, I'm going to give you a little more. If he charges anything, put it on my account. He showed compassion on him. He took him to a place where he could recover. And said, if he add anything on it, said, when I come again, I'll repay it. What are you saying, preacher? Thanks, buddy. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Too many times. Listen, and I'm not even going to tell. I'm going to take the world out of it for a minute. I'm going to bring it right here. From this pew to this pew. In churches across them, I'm going to bring it right here. There's been many times that we know a child of God is hurting. Hurting. And we get the mentality of, well, ain't nothing I can do about it. Yeah. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I would love to help, but man, I just don't know what to do. Well, you know what? They deserve it. Man, you should have seen the way they were talking, the way they're acting. They deserve to be where they're at. But listen, when we need to be going to that person, come here. And say, hey man, I know you're going through a hard time. I just want to hug your neck, you know. And let's pray about it. We go to God in prayer. You know, you see, you may not be able to help financially. You may not even be able to help physically. But my soul, if you could still bow your head, if you could still ring the prayer bells of heaven, if you could still call upon the name of the Lord, then you could do something greater than money, amen. You could do something greater than physically lifting somebody up. You could take them to the Lord and say, Lord, help them because I can't. I was on the... Lord, why are you going to make me tell this for, amen? I was on my way to work the other day. And this was before we knew about the bully. And man, I was on my way to work and a bug flew in my eye, I think, because I started just tearing up. And I was praying and I got to Maddie. And I started praying that Lord protect her. Because listen, we know we live in a day and age where people like to jump people, amen. And it was killing me. You know, the daddy in me just wanted to go to school and be like, I'm substitute teacher today. What y'all got to do? You know? Pull off the belt and start chasing folks, amen. But listen, I knew I couldn't be there. But I knew one who could. And I had to let go of the physical daddy. And I had to turn it over to the heavenly daddy, amen. And I said, Lord, and I'm tearing up in the car, amen. Swerving on 894, amen. And I just talked to the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't be there. But I know you can. Please protect her. Put a protective hedge of love around her. Preacher, why do you pray that? Because I believe God puts a protective hedge of love around him. Amen. And she come home that day and she said, Dad, guess what? I said, what? She said, that bully, she come up to me and she apologized. I said, do you want to be friends? So now they're friends. And all I could simply say was, thank you, Lord. If the only thing, listen, I don't know why we get this mentality of, well, all I can do is pray. That's all you can do is pray? That's really the only thing you need to do, man, is pray. Don't shortchange prayer, amen. We need to realize that we need to take each other. This man, religion passed him by. Compassion will find the wounded, amen. Listen, if you want to find the wounded, you'll find somebody hurting, amen. Compassion will find the wounded. We need to care for their needs. He met their needs. Low-key, I love this, low-key love goes a long way. When you help somebody, Brother Bob, we don't have to say, hey! I helped them. I met their need, amen. They needed brakes on their car. I went over there. I grabbed the best mechanic I knew, Glenn. We went over there. We changed the brakes. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to sound the trumpet. You don't need to do all that. A low-key love goes a long way. I can't tell you how many times in this church, and our I sound like a seal, but our financial needs have been real low. I can't tell you how many times somebody come up to me. Nah, I'm not knowing anything. They come up to me and they shake my hand, hug my neck, and next thing I know, I'm holding something. I'm holding a $20 bill or something. They don't need to be announced. But you know who sees that? God. And I believe when you take care of somebody with a true love, God's going to take care of you with a true love. But listen, religion passing by, compassion will find the wounded, the care for their needs, a low-key love goes a long way. Continue doing this wherever you go. The Bible says in verse 37, the Lord said, go and do thou likewise. Not sometimes, all the time. Let's wrap this up. How do you reach the wounded? You preach everywhere. You invite everyone. Who are they wounded by? By Satan, sin, society, and self. How do you treat the wounded? Listen, you treat them like the Good Samaritan. You take care of them. You show them compassion and love and do what you can to help them. Number four and finally, where do we take the wounded? Where do you take the wounded? If you came across somebody right now that was bleeding heavily and you stopped there to help them and you tried to take care of them, where are you going to take them? You going to take them to the Cracker Barrel? You going to take please don't, she says, amen. You going to take them to McDonald's? Yeah. Think about it for a minute. Think about it. Where are you going to take them? You're going to take them someplace they can get help. You know, the comedian said one time, he said, when I was growing up, he said, the cure to all my ailments growing up, according to my mom, was Pepto-Bismol. You know what I'm talking about when I say Pepto-Bismol, right? That pink stuff that's thicker than chalk and tastes nasty. The comedian said, all the ailments in the world was cured, according to my mom, by Pepto-Bismol. And then he posed the question. You know how much Pepto-Bismol you have to drink to cure a gunshot wound? Amen. You'll get that in a minute, amen. I'll throw that out there. But listen, when somebody's wounded, you don't take them to a Cracker Barrel. You don't take them to McDonald's. You don't take them to the hotel. You don't take them to Kmart, Walmart, and all those other marts. You take them to where they get some help. You take them to the emergency room. So, with that in mind, where do we take the wounded? Number one, to the house of God. So they hear. You got to say, listen, you got to take them to the house of God so they hear. Where do we take the wounded? We take them to the cross of Calvary so they can see. I believe a lot of people are proclaiming things other than the cross. But let me tell you something. It's still the cross, amen. The blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross. It's still the blood that saves today, amen. All right, Brother Bob agrees with that. Still the blood. I don't care how good you are. Get this now, we're almost done. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much money you put in the offering plate. I don't care how much you think you know about the Bible. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then my friend, hell will be your home, but it doesn't have to be. Jesus loves you, died for you, and wants to save you. But you know what? Where do we take the wounded? We have to take them to the cross. That's where healing begins. We take them to the house of God. We take them to Calvary's cross. We take them to the Lord of Lords so they can get saved. By no other name must man be saved but by the name of Jesus. You can take them into the name of Oprah. They'll show up wounded. They'll leave wounded. You can take them to the name of Dr. Phil. They'll show up wounded. They'll leave wounded. You can take them in the name of Bill Paisley. Guess what? They'll show up wounded. They'll leave wounded. Amen. But if you take them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen, and they need some healing, that's the place to get some healing, amen, is at the feet of Jesus. Not only that, but finally tonight, where do we take the wounded? We take them to the house of God. We take them to the cross of Calvary. We take them to the Lord of Lords. And where do you take somebody who's wounded? You take them to the great physician so they can be healed. Tonight, maybe you're wounded. Tonight, maybe you're hurting. Tonight, maybe you feel like that one that was jumped by the thieves and left for half dead. Maybe that's you tonight. Well, I'm going to do my part tonight. Why don't you come to Him? If you're hurting tonight, why don't you come to Him? Why don't you come to the one that can do something about your problem? Why don't you come to the one who can save your hell-bound soul? Why don't you come to the one that can mend your marriage? Why don't you come to the one that can help your children? Why don't you come to the one that can give you that job? Why don't you come to the one that can help you keep that job? Why don't you come to the one that can meet your bills? Why don't you come to the one that can give you strength? Why don't you come to the one that give you hope? Why don't you come to the one that can wipe the tears away? Why don't you come to the one who can do something about it? Amen. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Get what you need. Get what you need. As Jackie comes and plays for us.